Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Traverse in the Stars podcast. Today's special guest is James Nunn. You know him as the director of the movie Sharkbait, now in theaters. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Mr. Nunn. Thank you so much for coming to the Traverse in the Stars podcast.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
It's totally my pleasure. I had the sincere pleasure of watching Sharkbait. That was a lot of fun. I was really surprised by how tense that movie actually was.
Oh, great. Oh, well, thank you so much for saying so. Yeah, it's been a ride, and I'm pleased that you got that tension out of it. That was, you know, important to me. That I remember when I very first sort of was pitching to win the job, I said, you know, I wanted people's palms to sweat. So hopefully I got there with you.
You definitely did. There's a lot of moments there where I was like, holy shit, there's no way in hell they got out of this situation. There's no way in hell. And like I said, the way you handled it, the characters, the solution to everything was very, very well thought of. And once again, for the viewers who haven't seen it, and they will, you'll let me know when it releases, when we're done. To have that much tension when you only have a handful of characters, you're in a very small, basically almost a frozen location for most of the shot, you're in one spot. And to keep it that level of tension is a hell of a credit to you as a director.
Oh, thank you very much. you should be my agent.
I appreciate that.
Look, I can't take full credit for that. Obviously, the script was written by a guy, an English guy called Nick Saltrice. And, you know, he did all of that character work in the script before I was kind of on board. But I do appreciate what you said in that, you know, I'm a very technical director, and I try to be as sort of realistic in realism with the projects that I approach and how I approach them. And one thing that I also like to do is set myself challenges. And, you know, like you've picked up on, it's a one location movie. I mean, really, it's kind of like a chamber piece on the ocean. You know, it's five people just on a jet ski and working out, like the logistics of working that out and working out, well, how do we make this interesting, you know, and sustain that interest for 80 minutes without people getting bored was obviously a challenge at the forefront of our mind. So I'm pleased that you picked up on it, and I'm pleased that you found it tense, because that's honestly the ultimate compliment with the finished article. So thank you.
No, it's totally my pleasure. Now, anyone who has watched the making of Jaws knows that Steven Spielberg mentioned the difficulty of shooting on water. Now, when you shot Sharkbait, once again, it's on water. Now, was this on location? Was this on a back lot? How did you manage to avoid the pitfalls that that director ran into?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, this is the thing. I don't know if we did manage to avoid the pitfalls. you know, Spielberg was right, you know, in 75 when he said it's difficult to shoot on the ocean and it's difficult to make a mechanical shark work. And it just feels like me included, just went, no, we'll have a go. We'll be better. You know, the best filmmaker in the world is telling you this, and you're like, no, we'll be fine, Steven. We'll have a go. And look, everything he said is true. Like, shooting on the water is very difficult and it's very technically challenging. Back when they did it, you know, they were working with different camera equipment and different rigs and things like that. So it was much more challenging than the process that we have. Equally, like, I do like a challenge, and this wasn't actually my first rodeo on the ocean. So I have done some second unit directing on another couple of shark movies in the past. And I was able to kind of bring that knowledge of shooting in the water, shooting on the ocean, shooting in water tanks to this production, which kind of made me, you know, a little bit ahead of the game in terms of making sure that we could deliver on budget and on time and stuff. So that's kind of the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer is we shot in Malta, which is a country in the Mediterranean, just near Italy, near Sicily, actually, kind of off that way. And they shoot a lot of movies there. They have shot a lot of movies in the past. Gladiator for one, and they recently shot a lot of the new Jurassic World there. They've got great film crew, great local service crew, things like that. Like they provide marine services and diving and such. And it was a big factor for me in pitching to the producers on this movie that could we shoot as much as possible on the ocean? Because whilst I do like shooting in the tank for safety reasons and lighting reasons when it's necessary, it's not my first choice because, you know, what you get from the ocean is just way more depth, way more texture. Mm. It's so much more rich. So the third part of that answer is that we probably shot 90% in the ocean and then 10% in the tank. And the stuff we shot in the tanks was more or less because either safety, like pulling big wire rigs where you need big cranes, or the nighttime sequence stuff, because you can't put lights on the ocean. It just isn't realistic. So hopefully that answered that. I can talk for hours about it. So
it'd be my pleasure. If you had the time, I'd totally do so. You know, once again, how far out into the ocean were you shooting this?
Yeah, so we actually built the rig. We built a rig off the back of a boat to be able to kind of move as one unit. And, you know, it being that it is a one location shoot, pretty much the jet ski is always there. So we tried to find a way that, if you think about when you're operating on the ocean, because of the way the tide works, if we're on a boat here and a jet ski's here, like the waves are going to make it do this. So we built a rig to kind of essentially mean we were all like this, so that we would all go up and down together, which whilst it makes it feel like really like bouncy and weird, like it allowed for like cameras to remain locked in focus and things like that. So we built this kind of floating studio, if you will, that we'd take off every morning and we would go probably half a mile at max out into the ocean, but maybe try and then we try to sit in the lee of the island, either on the west side or the east side, so that we had wind protection from whichever way the wind was coming that day. So very technical way of thinking and very technical way of lighting as well, because I had a fantastic crew on this and fantastic director of photography, both out of the water, a guy called Ben Molden, and in the water, a guy called Mark Silk, who both are like masters in their field of understanding how to shoot some lights and make it look beautiful without a big lighting kit. And we just used the sun and we used our studio on the ocean. We kind of rotated to kind of keep this constant backlight. And then we were able to like front fill because just lighting on the ocean is nigh on impossible. So
Well, that
Half a mile. I think the short answer half a mile.
No, but
I went the long answer.
I trust me. I hope my listeners are into the long answers because I prefer those conversations. One thing that's also very impressive that you guys did is, once again, is the shark. And once again, to borrow from Spielberg, if the shark, people don't buy into the shark, the movie doesn't work. But your shark works. How much of the shark was CGI? How much was practical? What was the difficulties of utilizing this shark in that environment?
Of course, yeah, a good question. So we did have practical elements of the shark. We had a shark head, we had a shark fin. Truthfully, that stuff, as Spielberg tried to tell us, doesn't really work that well. To make that stuff work, you really need to put months of research and development and testing and finance into getting that up to scratch, which really at this level of film was unobtainable for us. So we did have some elements built, but truthfully, they weren't hugely successful. And they were always built with the idea that they would offer like eye lines and offer like visual intent that then would be CGI would kind of augment over the top. So predominantly, you know, I'd say 95% of the shark in the movie is CGI shark, and then probably like 5%, like there's some fins and things like that that are practical. And, you know, the producers, Andy, Chris, and Altitude had set up a deal with a company called Lip Sync in London, and they provided the shark for us. Yeah, we have a shark.
I mean, it was very impressive. I can't give anything away because no spoilers. We don't do spoilers. But there are a couple of moments with scenes with that shark that was very impressive. You see it, not only do you see quite a bit of that shark, but it looks real. I mean, you bought into it immediately. You didn't think to yourself, you know, I thought to myself, is that practical? I can't figure out. I mean, I assumed it wasn't a real shark because someone had been dead. But I was like, for a little while there, I stopped to thinking, going, it kind of feels like that's practical. I don't know. But that once again speaks so well of your movie that you pulled that off.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I mean, you know, a lot of work does go into the behavior of the shark and trying to make him feel realistic. And, you know, if we hadn't had Lip Sync doing the visual effects or a company that did good VFX, then it could have been a very scary prospect and a very different film. You know, as you say, like, you really need to kind of buy and believe the shark in these movies. And so that's a really big compliment. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, no problem. And another impressive thing, once again, is the cast that you had. Once again, these are younger actors. There's five. They're on the entire time. And since you said they're on location, I mean, there's submerged water under the heat for who knows how long of the shooting, but they did a fantastic job. Once again, you bought into them. They felt like they had a chemistry with each other. They felt like they didn't know each other during the shoot. And like I said, some of these actors were on the newer side. I mean, so as a director, how did you draw the best performance out of these actors?
Oh, cool. Yeah, good question. So, in the hunt for looking for the actors, being that I had this kind of experience doing some second unit on another grueling shoot before, I say grueling because really when you're working out on the ocean and when you're working out in this kind of very technical mindset, filmmaking, it's a challenge. It's not just sitting in a room and like working on your dialogue. You're actually like, the actors are out on the water for about 8 hours a day, sun hitting them, salt hitting them, the wind hitting them. They're in and out of the water. You're like putting bloody prosthetics on them. You know, they're in the sea. There could be anything below them. And they have and then they have to be on this jet ski and like motivate around it and walk around it and try not to fall off of it. So there's a lot of things going on in their head, aside from the fact that we ultimately want them to give a really good reading, a really good performance of Nick's script. So being aware of that in the casting process, I made sure it was a two-way conversation of like, you actually want to do this movie? Like, I really sold them on like, this is going to be tough. Like, this is not like, turn up, say your words and go home. Like, this is an adventure. And fortunately, like the cast that we picked, so that was one thing. And once they got on board with that and they did their tapes, obviously we cast the best people we could. There was 100 tapes for each role. And I whittled it down to 10 off the tapes. And then we brought in 6 of each. And they, pretty much everyone who had the best tape was pretty much the person who actually kind of got the end role in the end. And so knowing that it was going to be grueling, knowing that they were good in the room dry, and then going into the actual shoot itself, what I made sure we did is we actually rehearsed the movie. So on a jet ski in just outside the hotel where we shot, in about 4 foot of water. And for 4 days in a row, we just ran the whole movie so that they could get a sense of like moving in the water, being in the water, their body could acclimatize to the water. So, and the best way to think of like wind and tide and stuff is like you measure it as 1 through 5. So 1 is super calm, 5 is super choppy. Generally, you don't really want to be shooting above a 3 because it'll be all over the place. Like Perfect Storm would be a 5. Like the set for our movie is a 3. So they trained and we rehearsed in a 1 so that they could just make like totally off of book with the words, understand the physics and the mechanics of a jet ski. And then by the time we took them out to the water when it came time to shoot, they were really like natural on that. So they could kind of like not have to overthink the balancing because they'd already worked on it. They didn't have to overthink like all of the lines because they'd already like rehearsed it all week. And then with the technical stuff, there was enough safety crew, divers and marine crew to kind of make them feel safe So they didn't have to worry about that. So it was kind of about making them, like, not wrapping them in blankets, because it's not that kind of shoot, but like making them feel so comfortable with the situation that really they could just do the best job they could as actors. And I think they did really well, and I'm really proud of them.
Now, I mean, once again, they're shooting on the water with waves, potentially seasickness. They got the heat, as you said, because they've been doing all day. It's a very tense role. What did you do to help maybe lighten some of that? I imagine things would get a little testy when, you know, under those conditions. I mean, what did you do to try to make sure no one got too stressed out about this whole situation? No one became too tense?
I think the fact that we'd kind of outlaid that as a philosophy before we even started shooting, everybody was in the mindset of like, okay, this is going to be tough. And we're all working as a team, and the crew, I like to keep the crew intimate. And I come from an indie filmmaking background. And we're basing ourselves off of one kind of mothership that's only so big. Mm. So we know that there's probably like only about 35 to 40 people on the crew, kind of on the ocean. And everybody's role is super critical and super integral. Like, you didn't really, and because of COVID, there was only a certain amount of people that could actually even be on the boat. So you kind of know that there's not any spare people. Everyone on that boat is working super hard to do the best of their job that they can. And yeah, it was a little bit stressful, but not really. Like, we all, and I tried to lead from the top in like a very calm, let's have fun kind of way. And hopefully that filters down. And I think we had some tough days on the ocean, because you're all working on the ocean, but like at the end of the day, we all had a great day, and we'd all go home and be in our bubble and talk about, it's honestly one of the most fun experiences I've had shooting a movie. And absolutely every member of crew played their part and did a tremendous job. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have done it.
So when is the movie being released, and where can our listeners find it?
So it actually comes out today in the United States. There is theaters, and not every theater, because of, you know, Doctor Strange, and there's some other bigger movies ahead of us. You might have heard of them.
Sharkbait is better, though.
Oh, well, but you can. I'll let you tell Sam Raimi that. Yes, it comes out today. You have to go online at Now Showing or Coming Soon or whatever to find out which cinema area. I know it's playing at some drive-ins in New York, which I thought was really cool, because to my knowledge I've never had one of my movies in a drive-through before. And then it also is out on Tubi this weekend as well. I think you can purchase it on Vudu, don't actually have in England. Vudu, so I don't know how to pronounce that, but Vudu, yeah. Some buddies have texted me today to say they've purchased it, and all of those kind of places. And then UK is June, and I think some Asia today, and then I think maybe one of the Arabic countries in the next. It's basically between now and a month's time, I'm sure it'll be everywhere. So if your fans and listeners are interested in it, then definitely watch the trailer and go search for it in your area, because it should be out.
Well, I hope our listeners check it out. Like I said, it's a great movie, very tense. You'll not regret it. Like I said, the show.
I really appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for your time, and thanks for talking at the movie. You too, buddy.